Hey everybody, welcome to Trailer Blazers, coming at you from the hot zone, New York City.
Yeah, hey, how's it going? I'm little Stevie Van Zandt from Bruce Springsteen's band, and I'm in The Sopranos.
Hey, you seen him? He's one of those documentary movies, probably on that Freeform channel. You ever seen that one?
No, but I was very busy watching. Oh, I turned into Christopher Walken. I can't do these mafia voices.
A little pokey little Paulie over here loses his accent when it gets down to it, when it pressures on.
He turns into Christopher Walken.
Hey, if you're from New York City, is this offensive to you?
Yeah, Holly's from New York, but she's not from New York. She's from Oregon, so she can't be offended.
She can't. This is for the newsies. Let's soak them for crutchy.
Yeah, Christian Bale.
Folks, welcome. Do you know my name? It's Ben Moon, and I'm on this show.
And my name is Nick Kelly. I'm not actually Stephen Van Zandt from the E Street Band.
Right off the bat, if you want to write to me or see my personal photos, not racy, but they are personal, it's Captain Amazing on Instagram.
Yep, mine is Irish Wastrel, and I also post on the Trailer Blazers podcast Instagram a lot.
Anything racy?
I don't think so.
Well, that's good. It's nice and clean. Bring the kitties, why don't you?
I think maybe if it showed posts you like, but I don't think it does that anymore.
Nick, I'm sitting here. Let me ask you this question first of all. Have you ever seen the second Ninja Turtles movie?
Yeah. I think we talked about this a while ago because I watched them both, and the second one doesn't hold up.
The second movie, what's the title of that second movie?
Secret of the Ooze.
That is a description of me right now because I worked in the yard and got poison ivy.
Oh no.
I'm very allergic to poison ivy, and your boy is in some pain. I'm very swollen from it. My tissues are swollen on my arms. It's painful, and my only saving grace, and this is a tip for you. I'll give you a little tip here. Mm-hmm. This is a tip. Saving grace right now is Tiger Balm.
I don't know this pain because 1 out of 5 people is immune to the effects of poison ivy, and I am the 1 out of 5.
Nick, this is going to come up in the questions times, I bet.
Yeah, it'll come back.
Okay. I got to say I'm jealous. You never want to have this because it is like literally for me 3 to 4 weeks of suffering.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never had it, and I've been in poison ivy and not gotten it.
Jeez, what must it be like to be you?
Well, what I gain in that, I miss in a lot of other ways. For example, very bad vision, bad hearing, almost no sense of smell.
So it's not great to be you.
No, not generally.
Nick, it's been a week, man. You know, we like to keep it real here on the show, don't we?
We do try to keep it real.
We try to keep it real, and I gotta say, it's been a real week.
It's been taxing.
Boy, has it. I work from home, and I've had all of my children here with me. Today, man, I'm so glad it's Friday. I don't know that I could do it another day.
Well, I don't have the option to do it another day, as I have been furloughed until May.
Oof.
Yep.
Oh, gosh. I don't like reality now.
I work for a really good company, though, and they're taking care of us in specific ways. Like, they're paying our benefit coverage to continue, like the employee part of our benefits. They're paying that throughout April. They're doing what they can, but, you know, we're a nonprofit, so we don't have the engine to keep going.
Yeah, that's tough. It's tough. I know a lot of you are having a tough time out there. I've heard from some of you.
Yep.
But we want to still do the podcast and give you an hour, or if you listen to your podcast at 1.3 or 1.4 speed, a little bit less than an hour of something to do or listen to as you do other things potentially.
Plus, over the next month, this may be the only way I know what day it is.
Yeah, you sort of do get lost being cooped up in the house like that.
Yeah, especially because I won't be working.
Well, since you're not working, what have you been watching?
So this week was my last my last week that I could work. So, and I worked extra so I wouldn't have to use PTO. I'm just basically going to be on unemployment, but so I didn't have a lot of time, but I did watch two things. HBO now has X-Men Dark Phoenix, which is the much maligned final chapter in the new X-Men series of movies, and we watched that the other day.
Thoughts?
Well, okay, so it wasn't as bad as the Apocalypse one, so it wasn't the worst one. Like, it was pretty serious the whole time. Like, there wasn't any levity, which was a problem. Especially for X-Men, which is sort of a silly thing to begin with. So, I don't know. It was sort of forgettable. Some of the stuff was alright. It wasn't very good.
You know, after something like a Thor Ragnarok, where you have an action comedy, which we love so much, it's kind of hard to go to something that's just super serious the whole time.
Yeah, it's too serious. Like, I don't know. I don't want that. I want it to be more fun.
What's the most serious Marvel movie that's been made so far? Is it Thor 2? No.
Are we talking just MCU?
Yeah, MCU, yeah.
It might be Endgame. Endgame was pretty serious. I mean, it had levity, though, because it had, like, Thor was funny in that.
And, yeah.
It had enough levity.
Yeah.
Ant-Man. Probably Thor 2, actually.
Is it Kat Denning? No. What's the girl's
Dennings,
name?
Kat Dennings, yeah. Yeah, Kat Dennings.
Okay, yeah. She added a little bit of levity, meow meow and all that.
She was very good. She's going to be in WandaVision.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, I'm happy about that.
That'll be good. You said this is on HBO, this Dark Phoenix. I'm going to check this out. I never finished Age of Apocalypse. I've seen like half of it. Never went back.
The only thing that you need to know about Age of Apocalypse going into this one is at the end, when Jean Grey uses her powers, Apocalypse looks at her and goes, "All is revealed." And that's basically it. That's like the highlight of that movie. And then I watched Clue on Amazon Prime from 1985.
Oh, man. You know, I knew that was old. I didn't know it was quite that old.
This movie has a lot of really great actors in it that I love. So I went into it not really looking. It has Christopher Lloyd. It's got Michael McKean. It has Tim Curry. It has the greatest of all, Madeline Kahn, who is, in my opinion, in the top three funniest human beings that ever lived in the entire universe. There's a bunch of other people, too.
Is this the best board game movie?
Oh, for sure, yeah. Oh, Martin Mull was in it. He was Colonel Mustard. But yeah, Madeline Kahn was Mrs. White. I don't know, she's the best. She's just the funniest person. I love her so much.
So, let's think about board game movies. We have Clue. We have Battleship.
I never saw that.
Eh. You're not missing anything.
I tend to not watch movies with Taylor Kitsch in them.
I'm trying to think. What else is there?
With Taylor Kitsch or board game movies?
Board game movies. I don't care about
Clue,
Taylor Kitsch.
Clue and Battleship. That's all I can think of. They were going to make a Monopoly movie, but then everyone decided no one cares about that, I think.
I feel like there's another movie that's come out recently that was real good that was based on a game or something.
It depends if you include Jumanji. That's kind of a board game movie, except the movie came first.
What's next? Mousetrap? They're going to make a Mousetrap movie?
Mousetrap. Well, there was Mouse Hunt back in the day.
Settlers of Catan.
Hmm.
It's a movie about trading.
Yeah, yeah. 1313 Dead End Drive. That was a good game.
Because doesn't Hasbro have a movie studio?
I have no idea.
I'm almost positive they do.
Well, Clue was a Parker Brothers game.
Which is probably owned by Mattel or Hasbro, I bet. I googled. Oh, Zathura.
Ah. I don't know how well received that was.
Okay, so there's not many. There's not many. Yeah. I think probably with the lack of critical and theatrical success of Battleship, you're probably not going to see too many.
Yeah, and Clue is a cult classic, but, you know, look at the cast list of that movie. It's impossible not to be. It was so good. Michael McKean, man. Madeline Kahn.
Look at the cast list, man. The cast list.
They don't make them like Madeline Kahn anymore.
Well, you know, I've been watching TV at night here lately. I've been watching a lot of stuff.
What you been watching?
Well, I watched a documentary on Netflix called The Gentleman Driver. Definitely recommend it. It's you're probably going to only like it if you're into racing. It's about, but it's kind of an interesting premise. So in sports car racing, there are teams, right? And the teams have to have two professional drivers and one what are called gentleman drivers. And these are super rich dudes who pay somewhere between like $3 to $5 million a race to be in the race, and they drive the car. And so they train and everything, and they literally go out there and race. And so they help sort of fund these things, because racing is a thing that if you're a billionaire and you want to become a millionaire, get into racing. That's the saying goes something like that.
Because they spend so much money.
They spend so much money, so it just takes a lot of money. So anyway, the documentary is about these rich guys that are in this very professional world of racing. It's interesting. There's cool cars. It's really well done. I recommend it. Okay, I've been watching, still slowly going through Castlevania. You know, I don't know that I really like this season. Ugh, I hate to say this.
You were looking forward to it so much.
I know. I think I had my expectations too high after episode 7 of season 2. I wanted the whole season to be like that, and it's just not. So I don't know that I'm really liking it.
How many episodes are there, and how many have you watched?
I think there's like 10 maybe episodes, and I think I've seen like 5 now, 5 or 6.
Well, it could still have a cool episode 7 then.
It could. So, I'm going to finish it, but I don't know that I'm really into it. I think if I were in charge, I think I could do a better job. I'm just saying. I'm not a show front runner or forerunner or showrunner, whatever you call them.
A Dodge forerunner.
I'm a Dodge. Well, that's I think it's a Toyota, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Sure. I don't know.
Nick's,
I don't know cars.
Nick's real into cars.
I got a Subaru. What do I know?
You're one of those guys over there.
Yeah.
I actually love Subaru, so I can't say anything. So I watched Westworld. I am caught up on Westworld. Yeah, I'm still liking it. I think it started off stronger than where it's at now, but it's all right. I think I'm liking it better than season 2 still.
Season 2 was just incomprehensible
to
me.
Yeah. There's a little bit of like, where are we? What's happening? What timeline are we in? Kind of a thing, but then they sort of, as the episodes go on, you're like, "Okay, I know what's going on here."
I'll watch Westworld. I haven't started it yet. I was very busy this past week.
Yeah. I watched the first episode of Letter for the King.
Yes, I'm excited about this.
I was too. Episode 1 is not strong. It is probably 20 minutes too long. And it's only like an hour.
Well, 20 minutes too long is better than 10 minutes too short.
I'm hoping that it picks up. I'll probably give it 2 more episodes, and if it doesn't pick up, then I'll probably peace out. Then I watched Devs. I am almost caught up on Devs. I have half an episode left before I'm fully caught up. It is pretty interesting still. I've decided I don't like the main character girl, like the actress. I don't like her. I like Nick Offerman. I like the other side characters, like some of the other people that work at Devs. It is a pretty slow, moody show. Really well made.
With Alex Garland, I would assume it would be slow, and then the end would be sort of revelatory.
Yeah, I think so. I think I like Alex Garland better in movie form, because he's sort of forced to tell his story in a way that clips along. Even with his moody storytelling, he has he's like forced to clip it along a little bit. And here you have it very strung out.
I will start watching this soon. I had a lot of stuff I had to sort through with stupid HR stuff at work and that kind of thing. So I haven't. The only thing I've wanted to do is play Animal Crossing all week. So that's all I've done.
Yeah, you and all of my friends are basically playing Animal Crossing right now.
It came out at just about the perfect time. Like, it's such a calming thing in my life.
There's a lot to be said for that.
Uh-huh.
Especially now.
It is a very high-value calmness.
That's great. All right, so that's a lot that I have watched. That's all that we have watched. But I'm interested to get your opinions on some of these things when you actually do watch them.
I'll get to them eventually in this month where I have nothing else to do.
Yep. You just put a note in the show notes before the show started. Tell me about this.
Yes, okay. So after... when did First Man come out? That was like November of 2018. It was the last time a Ryan Gosling movie has come out, and there's been this drought since then that was unbearable. But now he's making a new movie called The Hail Mary, which is another astronaut space movie written by the guy who wrote The Martian, which is a really, really good space movie.
Yeah, tightly written too.
Uh-huh. So that guy, what's his name? Andy Weir. He's writing another book, and Ryan Gosling is producing and starring in the movie of it called The Hail Mary.
Cool. What's the do you know the premise of this?
No, it's just some sort of single man space movie again.
It's in space.
Yeah, there's not a lot of info yet. It's just this was like Slash Film was really excited that they had some movie news that wasn't about delays or coronavirus. So they were really hyped up about it.
Speaking of single men in space movies, did you ever see Moon?
Yes, I did.
I liked Moon.
Yeah, I didn't like it the first time I saw it. And then as I thought about it throughout the next like year, I was like, oh, that was really good. And I was just dumb.
Yeah, that's a movie where like when you learn it, like kind of what's going on, you do think about it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Plus it was Sam Rockwell, who's one of the best.
Gosh, we love Sam Rockwell around here. Love him. First thing I ever saw him in was Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah, yeah. He's so good.
Zaphod Beeblebrox. He's great.
Most underrated Marvel character is Justin Hammer. I wish they would bring him back in some capacity.
I do, too.
Yeah, he's my favorite. Everything he said was the funniest thing in the entire MCU.
He was great. Gosh, he's great. Ah, man. Yes, I want Justin Hammer back.
He's alive. Tony Stark is dead. There's a niche to be filled.
There really is. All right, well, Nick, what do you say we do a little The Questions Times?
Oh, I'm jonesing for The Questions Times.
Well, I tried to be kind of timely with this week's questions, don't you think?
Yep, it's on par.
Okay. So the first question is in the zeitgeist, folks. If you could use the Infinity Gauntlet to snap a disease out of existence, what disease would you choose and why?
Yeah, this one, I've actually been thinking about this a lot all week because I was like, oh, I wish I could just infinity snap this virus away because it's the worst thing.
Yeah.
But like overall, if I could choose one, I would get rid of MS because my mom has it and it sucks and it makes you weak against everything else. So like every time there's something like this, then all those people are vulnerable because it's an autoimmune thing. So I think I would pick that one.
Yeah, that's a great answer. There's a lot of people that suffer from that.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the way I thought too. I was like, I don't want to do something temporary like coronavirus. I mean, it would sure be convenient to snap it out, but there's a lot of things that people are just perpetually suffering from. So I thought it was sort of a tie in my mind, but I decided upon type 1 diabetes.
Yeah, that's a bad one.
I heard a guy speak talking about printing organs, like 3D printing organs. And he said for whoever can come up with a like fully functional pancreas has basically the golden ticket because so many people have type 1 diabetes that need a pancreas.
That's also the worst kind of cancer, isn't it? I think it progresses. Yeah, it progresses the fastest.
I don't know, but that sounds right.
We lost Patrick Swayze that way. Unacceptable.
That's unacceptable. I feel like old Patrick Swayze would be in a MCU film.
Yeah, well, he looks exactly like Chris Hemsworth when he's young, so he basically is. And then Chris Hemsworth played his character in that really bad remake of Red Dawn.
Was he in that surf movie? Is Patrick Swayze in that surf movie?
Was he in the Point Break? Is he just going to be all of Swayze's characters? Or no, Point Break. That's the... Never mind.
I'll cut that out.
Cut it out so I don't look so... But I am right, though. Point Break was the one with Swayze and Keanu Reeves. And Point Break, they remade that, was Chris Hemsworth in that. So I wasn't wrong.
No, you weren't wrong. You're right.
Yeah, I'm right. Never mind.
I won't cut it out. Nick was right, guys. But the other thing I was thinking of was kidney, like people that have like kidney disease. I don't know. Is there a certain, I don't know what it's called.
I think they just call it like kidney failure, maybe?
I don't know if that's a disease, though. I just don't want people to go to dialysis all the time.
Yeah. If I was Thanos, I would explode my arm for good.
Yeah, so we would erase those. That's what we would erase: MS and type 1 diabetes. But tell us, is there something different that you would snap out of existence had you the Infinity Gauntlet upon thine hand?
Maybe we can pass it down a line and just fix the Earth for a lot of people.
That'd be pretty sweet. Now, if we did, yeah, it's gonna take a lot of us. We're all gonna like lose control of our arm for a while.
That's all right.
Yeah. All right, so question number two. If you could change one feature of your body, what would it be?
Now, does this include things like if you decided you wanted gills?
No, this is not a fantasy. This is like just a normal world. And I almost thought about breaking this down of like a practical thing that you would change and then like a superficial thing that you would change.
Hmm.
So maybe we should do that.
All right, well, let's see. A superficial, I wish I had more manageable hair, mostly for cosplay, because my hair is curly and it looks like Jude Law, but like, that's all right if I want to be Yon Rogg from Captain Marvel, but nothing else. It doesn't straighten, it's impossible to, it's like, it will bend back even if you put, like, got to be glued, super powerful goo in it. It's unstoppable. It's Irish curliness mixed with Ukraine curliness.
Have you ever tried a flat iron?
Yeah. It lasts for like 10 minutes and then it goes back.
Oh, wow.
No, it's indestructible.
Wow. Okay.
Well, so my other thought was that I would kill the immortal love handles. They don't go away no matter what.
Yeah. That's actually my superficial one too. Just like if I could change my body fat percentage just at will.
I was going to the gym like every day. And then this stupid thing, stupid virus. I can't go outside. I mean, I can go outside and run, but it's cold here. I miss the gym.
I miss the gym too, dude. I can't wait to get back in the gym.
I feel bad about complaining about it being overcrowded earlier in the year because now I can't go.
I didn't even think about that. I feel bad now too.
Yeah.
All right. So both of our superficial answers are similar. My serious answer is I would change my immune system because I have an autoimmune problem, and not having to deal with that would be super great. And I have friends that have autoimmune issues as well. I think lupus is autoimmune, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I have friends with that. God, man, let's just get rid of the autoimmune stuff, can we, please?
Yeah, that's a good one because that includes MS. So
yeah,
I could save my snap if you just change that from existing. Then I would have it free to do something else.
We need the powers that we talk about in the questions times.
If anyone knows of any way to get magical powers, send an email to trailerblazerspodcast@gmail.com.
But only if there's no catch. I don't want like a monkey's paw situation going on.
Yeah, trailerblazerspod@gmail.com with your no catch magical solutions to all of life's problems.
Yeah, send it to nomonkeypaw.com/email.gmail.
That's a real address.
All right, so that brings us to the new trailers. Folks, we had nothing really strong here. A couple boogers.
Yeah, it's to be expected. A lot of stuff is delayed, so we're sort of getting the dregs of what's producible, I guess.
Yeah, there's a lot of low-budge stuff in here. A
lot of low-budge.
A lot of low-budge, a lot of Netflix, a lot of Quibi.
Mm-hmm.
But let's start it out with talking about an Apple TV. Is it called Apple TV?
Yeah, I think so, or Apple TV Plus or something.
Apple TV Plus. There's something called Defending Jacob, starring Captain America.
And also Bill from It, and who are both in Knives Out. And so when the trailer started, I was like, what is this, Knives Out 2?
That would be a quick turnaround, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So this is a movie about a guy defending his kid, but also doing some, I guess, shady stuff in order to help his kid.
Yeah, so there's like a murder at the beginning, it looks like, and the Chris Evans' son is implicated.
Yeah.
And he's trying to figure out a way of making him no longer be implicated.
Yeah. And he's willing to go the extra mile, dirty deeds.
Done dirt cheap.
Yeah, I don't, so I'll never see this, but I, gosh, I love that Chris Evans.
Yeah, if you want to see these actors, just watch Knives Out, which is one of the best movies I've seen in the past decade.
Yeah, I need to see that. I don't mind looking at Chris Evans for 2 hours.
Right, he's great.
He's great.
He's a beautiful man.
He is a beautiful man. There's just, we can say that. All right, the next thing we have here is called The Great, and it's a Hulu original, and now I can't even remember what it is.
This is about Catherine the Great, and it stars Elle Fanning, who is the most prolific actor in the universe.
Yes, yes. She marries a Russian dude who is Beast from the X-Men first class movies.
Yep, Catherine the Great was one of the most famous Russian rulers.
The guy that she marries is a real piece of work.
Yeah, he was kind of a goon.
Kind of a goon. This movie...
I think it's a series.
Oh, is it a series?
Yeah, I'm probably going to watch this. I like... the writer of this wrote The Favorite, which was a really, really good movie. So I'll probably check this out. I like the cast, too. I like Nicholas Holt and Elle Fanning.
I would watch this for historical purposes because I know absolutely nothing about these people.
If you don't like Elle Fanning, you're pretty much out of luck. She's in every movie.
What was she in before this?
Well, she was just in Emma, that one that we talked about last week. We do one movie per week with Elle Fanning in it. She was in that one with Javier Bardem where he had like dementia or Alzheimer's, and she was in... Oh man, I can't think of it now, but she's in at least 24 movies a week.
What's the girl that we saw, or we didn't see, but the latest Terminator movie that was in everything?
She wasn't as prolific as Elle Fanning.
She was in a lot of stuff for a hot second, though. I wonder if Terminator sort of torpedoed her, or if she's working on a big project right now.
Mackenzie Davis?
That's it.
She's working currently on...
Battleship 2.
Battleship 2. Nothing overly big. A couple movies in here. So she's working.
A couple of art house movies.
Yeah, Elle Fanning, though. She's in the most movies of anyone.
Okay, so next up we have The Platform, which is a Netflix original. I think it's a foreign film. This is like Snowpiercer, looks like.
Yeah, it's like Snowpiercer sort of in a building going straight up, and there's a hole in the... in the middle. It seemed like it was like a prison.
Yeah, it looks like a prison, but yeah, definitely like a vertical Snowpiercer. It's allegorical.
Uh-huh. The people at the top are the like rich people or whatever,
and they're feasting, and then a platform moves floor to floor and people get to eat the scraps as it goes down, and then the people at the bottom get really hardly anything, I think.
Yeah, because the people at the top eat more than they need.
Right. And then there's, hijinks, and well, not hijinks, but I guess, like, tragic things ensue, just like the real world.
It looks pretty dark.
And I think you can actually watch it right now.
Yeah, I think it came out on Netflix this weekend. Yeah. I mean, they released the trailer. There was an older trailer for this, I think, when it was released in the foreign markets, and then Netflix is distributing it in the U.S., so we just got it.
And I think this ends kind of on a sour note or a dark note, which is understandable for an allegorical film of this nature. So I think if I do watch this, which I am planning on watching this, but I got to be in the right mood.
Yeah, I don't know. It looked a little gruesome, and I'm not in the mood for that right now. I'm in the mood for Animal Crossing.
Oh, boy. I definitely am going to have to wait for this whole thing to be over with before I watch this, for sure.
Yeah, there's a couple different kinds of personalities. There's the people that right now are watching Outbreak and Contagion and stuff like that, and then there's me, who's like, no, I don't want that. I'm gonna just play Animal Crossing.
That is true. You're right. Next up, we have a Quibi movie called Survive, and this has the Queen of the North.
Sophie Turner.
This has, so Sophie Turner looks very everyday average person in this.
Right.
And I actually really want to see this.
Me too. I was watching this trailer and I was like, I guess I'm interested in Quibi a little now.
Yeah. So the trailer, when it first started, I was like, I like, what's Queen in the North?
Sansa?
What's the actress's name?
Sophie Turner.
So I like Sophie Turner. And I was like, in the beginning of the show, I was like, I don't know if I like Sophie Turner enough to watch this. And then it took a turn. And I was like, okay. I see where we're going here now. Okay, I'm interested.
Yeah, I like her a lot. And I also like survival movies like this.
What's the movie with the soccer team that they eat the dead people?
Is that, I'm only thinking of the Simpsons movies that were about the plane. There was one called Alive.
I think it is Alive. Is it Alive?
Is it? Oh, I wasn't sure if that was a Simpsons joke. I never saw the actual movie.
I did. I saw it when I was real young and was kind of freaked out by it. But, I mean, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. I think there was some cannibalism going on in... it is Alive. It had Ethan Hawke in it.
That's right. So this movie, Quibi, 10-minute episodes? They come out each day.
Yeah.
See, if you think about it, you could stretch that out a long time.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to pay for Quibi, but I want to watch Survive.
I feel the exact same way. Something that we are getting on Netflix, it's an animated Netflix original. It's called The Willoughbys.
Yeah, Ricky Gervais was providing the narration for this trailer.
I like the animation style on this. Did you?
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of Coraline, but not quite as stop motion as Coraline. Like a halfway point between Coraline and the Klaus movie.
That's a great way to describe it. I would describe it the same way. This looks good.
Yeah, I thought so. I thought it looked enjoyable.
Now, the only thing about this is it's a story about, I guess, kids trying to get their parents either out of their life or killed, maybe even.
I think that's probably the goal at the beginning. I don't think it will continue.
I think you're right. Now, this is based on a book, I believe, or a series of books, maybe.
It's a kid's book.
Yeah.
I want to say, though, I called Maya Rudolph instantly. The first line she said when she came through the door and said she was the nanny, I was like, that's Maya Rudolph.
And you were right.
I was. I know that voice.
Yep. We have another Quibi movie coming out or series called Most Dangerous Game.
This trailer was better than the teaser trailer that we watched for this movie.
Yes, much better. Christoph Waltz looks great in this.
He's cool. He'll always be cool.
He's very subtle in this trailer in just such a good way.
Uh-huh. And like Liam Hemsworth will always be the lesser Hemsworth, but I like the part in this trailer where he's trying to figure out what Christoph Waltz wants him to do. He's talking about hunting him. He's like, what, like paintball? He's like, nope. Tag? Nope.
The way he shakes his head, though, it's just so good. Like,
yeah.
Literally, Christoph Waltz just shakes his head, and you're like, man, such good acting.
Yeah, do I want to get Quibi? All the stuff they're putting out seems kind of cool.
Nick, are we going to subscribe to Ding Dang Quibi?
Quibi, you're doing some work here. You're turning me. Because the Most Dangerous Game trailer, I think we made fun of pretty good. The first teaser trailer that came out.
Yeah.
But this one looks pretty good.
They're turning us around here.
The Most Dangerous Game, the short story that everyone had to read in seventh grade.
Next up, we've got a Netflix show, I think, called Hashtag Black AF. And this has Ann Perkins.
Yeah, Rashida Jones.
Rashida Jones. I feel like this is Rashida Jones giving Rashida Jones the space to be funny in a character that's probably pretty funny.
Rashida Jones has been good in everything I've ever seen her in, even if the thing she was in wasn't that good.
Yeah. I had kind of a crush on her when she showed up in The Office.
Karen? Yeah, Karen in season... Was that season 3?
I think that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Corporate. She was at corporate, right?
Yeah, she was at... Well, no, she was at the office that they transferred Jim to. The where... What place was that? Utica.
Oh, okay.
And then, because Jim was dating her when he was transferred over there, and then they transferred a bunch. They closed the Utica branch and they brought everyone to Scranton.
Yeah, so she's in this. She's I guess she's the biggest star in this, right?
Yeah, I think there are some cameos in it, but I think as far as the main cast, she was the one that I knew the most.
Yeah, I probably will not end up watching this, but it's a show.
Yeah, I probably won't either. I like Rashida Jones, but eh.
Yeah. And then next up, I've been waiting to talk about this. We have a Red Band trailer for a Netflix. Is this a show or movie?
I think it's a movie. Speaking of people from the Utica branch who were transferred to The Office, Ed Helms is in this.
This is a movie called Coffee and Kareem. And go ahead and turn up the heat in your house and throw the show in the trash can, because this is hot garbage.
This is one of the worst trailers I've seen.
One of the worst. I did not laugh. This is a comedy, this is an attempt at being a comedy. And I didn't laugh one time.
No, I didn't either. I spent the entire time thinking, do I not like Ed Helms at all?
I watched this going, hey, do you like young kids using terrible language and not just curse words, but like just totally inappropriate?
Yeah, just basically just being gross.
Yeah, like vulgar, like trying to be as vulgar as possible, and a storyline that's just not great.
I mean, that can work. You can have that parlay into comedy, because Role Models was pretty funny. But this is not. It doesn't have the charm that goes along with it. It's too, I don't know. I would say like dark comedy, but it isn't. It's just stupid.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna say that I don't like Ed Helms.
I don't think that's what I was thinking, because I was like, he was kind of funny in The Office, but his character, they just did, whenever they needed a character to be a certain personality, they used Andy. Like, he didn't have a very consistent personality as the show progressed. But like, what else is he in? He's in, you know, The Hangover and like that tag movie. He's always sort of a straight man. He's not really that funny.
I hated this. I don't know why anyone would watch this. It's like a low budget thing, kind of.
Yeah, basically the only thing I thought while watching this is, do I hate Ed Helms?
So this is Coffee and Bad Ed Helms.
Yep.
On Netflix.
Yeah. So if you're going to watch one former Office Utica branch employee thing between Black AF and Coffee and Kareem, I would watch Black AF.
Probably so. We have another Netflix, I think this is a foreign film, called Into the Night, and this is also known as The Langoliers.
Oh, boy, the greatest Stephen King adaptation of all time.
Yeah, so apparently the dawn coming is actually killing people, and it's a French guy that at gunpoint forces his way onto a plane and is like, take off! The dawn will kill us!
Is he a vampire?
He is not a vampire. As a matter of fact, he learned on a cell phone call. It made us learn. It seemed like in the trailer that a phone call revealed that people were dying as the dawn was overtaking them. Yeah, dawn was coming. I don't know.
So wait, is this going to be like sort of like a Snowpiercer thing where it has to keep moving? Only it's a plane that has to keep flying on the dark side of the earth.
I mean, it is, and to me, it's like the Langoliers, because you're racing against the Langoliers.
Yeah, the effects look about the same as well.
Yeah, it doesn't look very high budge. This is French, I believe, right? The language is French.
Yeah, I think so. But I just watched a good French movie last week.
Yeah, I just wonder, like, movies made in France? Like Australian movies, like where they just don't ever have any big budgets?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't know enough about it, because there are good French movies. Like, Amelie is a really good movie.
I don't know that I've seen many French movies.
I've only seen a couple. I've seen, well, Amelie, that's the French movie that I think most people have seen, if you've seen a French movie, but that's a really good movie. And I saw The Intouchables, which is also good, so. But those were both on my poster of 100 bucket list movies, so it's not going to point me to the bad French movies.
Next up, we have Survive the Night. And this is a movie that was filmed by the guys that made the Mentos commercials.
The Fresh Maker, Ben.
Mentos, the Fresh Maker.
Yeah, you posted this in the show notes, and I clicked on the link and watched it, and I was like, halfway through, I was like, is this the way this movie looks? And so I've put it in YouTube. I searched it and watched another one. I was like, this is the way this movie looks.
Mm-hmm. It's got Bruce Willis in it.
Yeah, why does it look like it was filmed in Europe and then shipped over here?
Maybe Bruce Willis is on the run.
Maybe Bruce Willis approached the Mentos commercial guys and was like, I want you guys to make a movie that I can phone in, like the rest of my movies lately.
Uh-huh. He's basically Bruce Willis. If it wasn't directed by Wes Anderson, Bruce Willis is not going to try.
This is true. I think this is a reality that we live in.
A lot of movies in this grouping have to do with surviving the night, don't they?
Why does Hollywood do this?
Yeah, because Into the Night is about surviving in the night from the dawn. The Coffee and Kareem movie literally had a title card that said Survive the Night, because drug dealers are trying to kill them. Most Dangerous Game is about surviving the night. Survive is clearly about surviving, although that might be multiple nights. Platform seems like you have to survive in that movie too.
Yeah, a lot of survival movies going on here.
It just reflects everyone's anxiety in the real world, I guess.
I think you may be right. These are the only movies that can come out here, as we're all in this together.
Yep.
Then we have The Incoherence. And now this looked like it was filmed by your local community college theater department.
Jess said this looked like it was filmed in the 90s on the BBC.
Yeah, this is real bad looking. The acting looks real bad.
It looks like it's about like an old man band that they're trying to like reconvene some maybe punk band or something.
Yeah, this is like a bunch of like middle-aged white dudes, and you know what we need more of? Stories about middle-aged white dudes.
Yeah, and their drumsticks.
This looked terrible. Gosh, this is probably the second worst trailer after that Coffee and Kareem.
I have very little to say about this one because it was so humdrum.
All we can say is it looked uninteresting with bad acting, an uninteresting story, uninteresting white guys. It's a bunch of Brads.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Yeah, no thanks. So The Incoherence, bye.
This next one looked pretty good.
Tiger Tail, starring Mulan's dad.
I thought of him as General Shang from Arrival.
Oh, yeah, he's in Arrival.
Uh-huh. It all depended on him.
I like that actor. I don't know his name. I like him, though.
Yeah, I know his name, but I don't know how to... I can't even pronounce. So I don't know how to correctly pronounce it, so I don't want to try and do it wrong.
Yeah, there's a lot of... This is like mostly Chinese actors, but the acting in this looks really good.
It does. When it started, I was like, okay, this is like a foreign movie, maybe like a coming-of-age thing. And then by the end, I was like, oh, this looks really good.
Yeah, it looks really good. I don't know that I've seen... It's something Lang, the director. Is it Terry Lang? Jerry Lang?
Alan
Lang. Yeah. That's it. It's not Jerry.
Yeah.
Jerry.
God, Jerry, you don't deserve the internet.
Jerry.
So this is coming out on Netflix. Looks like Netflix is pushing some of this foreign stuff right now.
Yeah, that's a good way to release things in the U.S. market, because like Netflix gets a lot of Indian movies as well, because I watched a bunch of Indian movies on Netflix. But this movie was directed by Alan Yang, who has a lot of stuff in the U.S., because he worked on Parks and Recreation. He was one of the producers on Parks and Rec. He did Master of None, the Aziz Ansari Netflix show. He worked on The Good Place, basically a lot of sitcoms. He did Forever with Fred Armisen.
All right, well, that does it for the
new
trailers, and that brings us to the trailer mailers.
You've got mail.
All right, we're a little late this week because obviously we didn't do question times last week, but yet again, with the advent of the clickbait, we received one response from Bridget, who sent in one last time we did this, so she's the only one on our level.
Well, and I had several people say, man, trying to come up with a clickbait is really tough.
It's really hard. That's why I had to get help from Kevin last week.
I think I'm the odd man out here because I don't feel like it's that hard.
Oh, I think it's hard. I have a hard time with it.
Okay.
I got Bridget's, so it is guessable.
Okay.
So I'm going to give it to you here.
Give it to me.
All right. Watch as three escaped inmates are on the run to find a lost fortune. You'll never believe how they survive a brush with the devil as they try to keep their heads above water.
Oh, jeez. Is this El Dorado?
It is not.
Read it to me again.
Watch as three escaped inmates are on the run to find a lost fortune. You'll never believe how they survive a brush with the devil as they try to keep their heads above water.
Is this The Rock?
Nope. I don't know if you've seen this movie, so you might not have seen it.
A Brush with the Devil is big key here. Three escaped inmates. Oh, is this? Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
You got it.
Yay!
Oh, nice. Yeah, nailed it. Sweet. Good one, Bridget. He got it. We both got it.
We got it. Good job, Bridget.
Makes me want to watch that movie again. That's one of my favorite Coen Brothers movies. My hair.
Are you a Dapper Dan man? All right, well, you know, you can actually get in touch with us. Did you know that?
I did, because I set up all the ways to get in touch with us, and the first thing I did was set up an email at trailerblazerspod@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Instagram at trailerblazerspodcast. That is the one I recommend doing the most, because that's where I post all of the questions times and, like, new episode reminders and... Back in the day, I used to just post our logo and then I put a little description. Now I change it up. Use an image from something we talked about. It's fun. People comment. They have a good time. Join the party. Follow us on Twitter at @trailer_blazers. The only thing that goes there is the auto-publish when a new episode is uploaded, because I hate Twitter. And if you have time, you can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, which is still the best way for the show to gain traction. And if you do that, you'll receive a special reward, and I'm going to throw it to our correspondent in the field, Quick Mickey, tell you what happens.
All right, thank you, little Quick Mickey, coming to you live from the field, reporting live. And just learned that if you leave a five-star review, a five-star rating on the Trailer Blender, you're going to remember back to the time where that feller Ben, he's a nice feller, told you that if you get poison ivy, that you should put some tiger balm on it. And that's a tip. And that's the reward. The knowledge is the reward. And the more you know.
And if you want more updates from Quick Mickey, he has his own Instagram that you can follow.
Yeah, you can find me on an Instagram. Grandkids set it up. And that's @QuickMickey.
It's definitely worth following. It's probably the greatest thing on Instagram, in my opinion. And I think that does it for the main section, the main portion of the show. And for me, I'm Nick Kelly, and I'm going to survive without Quibi for a little while.
And I'm Ben Moon, a fresh maker. Happy trailsers.
Happy trailsers.
It doesn't matter what comes, fresh goes better in life, with Mentos fresh and full of life. Nothing gets to you, staying fresh, staying cool, with Mentos fresh and full of life.
The Fresh Maker.
All right. Welcome back, folks, to the VidYell Games one quarter Games. Portion of the show. Nick, you've been playing. Well, you've already mentioned what you've been playing.
Yeah, well, I'm still playing God of War, but this week was very stressful and very horrible. So I haven't played God of War this week. I will get back to that this weekend. But I've mainly been mainlining Animal Crossing every chance I can get. I've never played an Animal Crossing before.
Oh, okay, first time.
Yeah, I never had anything that it was on. I mean, I think it was on the DS that I had. But, yeah, this is the first one I've gotten. I'm fully addicted to it. I love it.
Is this a game that you can be bad at, or is it really just a game you play and...
It's just a game you play. It's like a life simulator, but it isn't a crisis simulator. So, like, I don't like life simulators that are just piling up different crises. So, you know, if you play, like, The Sims or Stardew Valley or, like, that Fallout Vault thing, it could just get out of hand with the crises piling up. And with this, it's just sort of at your own pace. You have little tasks that you can do, but it doesn't matter how long it takes you. The game plays out in real time, which is actually the coolest thing about it. Like, at night, it's night, and during the day, it's day. And when something is going to take a day, it takes a day. It's cool.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, you know, I like Stardew Valley, but one thing I don't like about Stardew Valley is you have to remember, like, what fruits people like or don't like. And I can't remember all that, and that stresses me out. Do you have anything like that in Animal Crossing?
No, there's nothing so far that has given me any stress at all. Like, everyone there is chill. Every once in a while, I'd be like, oh, if I give them a gift, are they not going to like it? But no, they just like it because it's a gift that they got. Everyone's nice.
I like that better because, like, there's a meme floating around of Stardew Valley. It's like comparing Stardew Valley to Animal Crossing. They're like, if you give a gift to Animal Crossing, it's like, thank you. Oh, my gosh, you're so sweet. I love you so much. And if you give a gift to somebody in Stardew Valley, like, how dare you give me this fruit? I hate you, and I hope you die.
Yeah, Animal Crossing is just pleasant. And it's a just sort of like a pleasant life simulator that you can do in this unpleasant time.
That sounds really good, man. I don't think I'm going to get it, but it does sound real nigh.
Yeah, it's hitting the spot for me right now.
Yeah, I'm playing like short bursts of BioShock Infinite still. I like to play it for maybe like an hour at a time. And then I want to go and do other stuff. But I've actually been playing the stock market. I've been playing a real-life game.
And how are you doing at that?
Well, guys, this is legalized gambling. I'll just go ahead and tell you.
Yeah, it is.
I'm trying to predict the future. So I have some money invested. Like, I have a significant amount of money invested. But I feel like I came into this at the best time because this stuff is so cheap. And if this stuff goes back up to the level it was before coronavirus, I'm literally, on some of these stocks, I'm going to make like 5 and 6 times the amount that I paid for them.
Well, that's good.
I don't know much about this, but I very clearly see how people get into this because I got the Stash app. That's what I'm using, the Stash app. It's very easy to use. Like, I go on my, you know, Google Chrome, and I type in, like, Delta stock. And I see what the stock price was. I see what it was 6 months ago or, you know, a year ago. So I can literally see, okay, here's what it was when it was highest, and here's what it costs now. And then I can make a decision to buy some of it or not. So it's pretty simple in that regard. I kind of wish, because, you know, like in high school, they talk about stocks. Did you ever talk about stocks in, like, econ?
Not really.
So we did in high school, and we played the stock market game, and I never could understand it. But I feel like apps make it pretty easy, and I kind of wish, like, I wish back in, like, high school, they're like, get your parents to give you $50, okay? And we're going to invest $50 on the Stash app and then, like, actually do it. I feel like that would have been valuable, but we never did that.
I was very bad at economics and still am.
Well, I don't know that maybe investing in stocks, maybe have people do it for you.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing, except this stupid virus destroyed my 401k, but...
Cool. It's a lot of fun,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, I will say all the stocks that I'm investing in are aggressive, so this is risky, I guess.
Well, I hope it works out for you.
Welcome to the Econ Boys podcast.
Oh, God, I would be the worst possible person to be on that podcast.
Well, welcome to the stock show, the stocky stuffers.
I had an economics class in college when I was doing my gen eds in the first 2 years, and it was the worst class. Like, I had a hard time understanding the material. The professor had a really thick accent, so I had a hard time understanding him. I was in it with Kevin Bly, friend of the show. That was one of the first things that we had together was econ in college. Like, the first class we had together was English. That's where I met him. But we had this econ class, and we were both so bad at it. And there was a day where it snowed really bad, and he and I were literally the only two that showed up to class. And the professor was like, do you want to cancel there's no one else here. And we were like, no, please just explain it to us. Like, we're so dumb, help. And I'm going to put Kevin on blast here. That is the only, like, the only time his phone ever went off in the middle of a class was during that class, and his ringtone was the seagulls from Finding Nemo.
That sounds on brand.
Yeah, it was very funny. Sorry, Kevin.
That's great. Put Kevin on blast.
There are other ways I could, but you know, of the many dumb things that happened to us in that class, that's the funniest.
So you were living up to the Dumb Dudes podcast name a long time ago.
Oh, I've always been a dumb dude podcast. Before podcasts existed, I was out there being dumb.
All right, so Vigigames, we had really hardly anything. We had two things. One is the official gameplay overview trailer, which is very specific, I know, but that's the way game trailers work these days. Mm-hmm. For Mobile Suit Gundam Extreme versus Maxi Boost On.
This is worth watching just to hear the excited announcer man scream the title. Hero Senshi Gundam Extreme vs. Maxi Boost
On ga PlayStation 4 ni toujou. I love this like Japanese announcer guy. It's great. High speed team battle. So the reason I put this on here is because back in the day there was an arcade game called Virtual On. Have you ever seen this game?
No.
Okay, so Virtual On was it was started out as an arcade game, I believe, and then they released it on I think Sega Saturn is what I played it on. But since Virtual On came out, games like this have really pretty much been clones. Okay, there was even a Nintendo DS game that came out that was kind of a clone as well. So I actually liked Virtual On. I thought it was fun, and it made me kind of want to play this game. But this is, you know, not enough to like pay money. Like I just want to play a demo of this, and that'll probably give me my fill. But I don't know if the demo's coming out.
Yeah, I don't know. Demos don't seem to be much of a thing anymore.
On the Switch there are now.
Oh, well, the only thing I've really done on the Switch so far is Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
Untitled Goose Game.
This game, I don't know if it's even coming out in the States. It's very Japanese. New playable
mobile suits! Yeah, it was.
But then we also have another Japanese thing. We have the Persona 5 Royale official trailer, and this is, is this like a recut of Persona 5?
It looked like it was an expansion to me.
Okay, I don't know what this is. Some of you Persona 5 fans probably know what this is. It looks good.
Yeah, Persona 5, my cousin's fiance likes that game. I was over at his house when he was playing it once. It looks kind of cool.
Really good graphic design. Like, the design of that game is really good. It's got style, man.
Yeah, it looks really cool. I don't know. I don't think I would like it. It's not really my genre, but I can see the quality and value it has.
Yeah, this is a game that I don't know that I'll ever have time to go back and play. Sort of like Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh, that's my favorite. That's my favorite thing.
Yeah, I know that, like, Red Dead Redemption 2 and The Witcher 3 are two games that I know require a lot of time, and that's just something I don't have.
Yeah, you do not have as much time as you need.
Yeah.
For sure, for those games.
Yeah, so I think, I don't know that I'll ever experience. Maybe when I retire, I can go back and play. There'll be vintage games at that point, but maybe I can go back and play them.
Yep, we'll see. We'll get back to you in 70 years.
Hey, everybody. It's episode 1045.
Well, I guess it depends how good you are at that Stash app stock market thing when you retire.
Yeah, that's true.
You could be a savant and then be done in a year.
I'll tell you, if I make it big in the stock market and I get, you know, millions and millions of dollars, I'm going to have a cool garage, bro.
Yeah, I'll come see it.
This is a cool Dodge 4Runner.
I love your Dodge 4Runner. Now fix my engine.
It's still driving that old Subaru over there.
I'll pull for you because I'll benefit from it in the long run.
Hopefully by then we'll have like a tube transport from Birmingham to Milwaukee.
Yeah, that would be nice. Except it would probably, like, in the Milwaukee side, they'd probably stop the upkeep and it would just explode when it arrived.
We got no brakes!
Yeah, Milwaukee's kind of crummy. Maybe if it goes to Madison.
Okay. Birmingham to Madison in 2 hours.
Right.
That'd be awesome, dude.
The Hyperloop.
The Hyperloop. All right, folks. Well, this has been, once again, the Dumb Dudes.
Yeah, the resurgence. Dumb Dudes Apocalypse.
The Stock Studs.
Oh, that's us for sure.
Yeah. But it's been fun. It's been real. Hope you guys stay safe out there. Hope you don't get any kind of sicknesses or diseases. We don't have an infinity gauntlet to snap them away for you. So, you know what? Just play it safe, folks. Wash your hands.
Wash your hands and stay home. I'm Nick Kelly, and I got the good price on turnips today.
And I'm Ben Moon, and I like any gift you give me. Love you guys.
Happy trousers.
続いて G のレコンギスタよりモッテーロが参戦。ビームジャベリンによる攻防一体のアクションで敵を圧倒せよ。